No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
Hi. I believe we are recording on this day, 2018. I'm Lee, and that's Todd.
We have a message that says Lee is recording the call.
So, yes, I think we're recording.
Yeah, well, let's pick up where we were last time. So the planet has, or rather had, a problem, which was this. Most of the people living on it were unhappy for pretty much of the time. That's pretty much most of the time. That's what I would have written. Many solutions were suggested for this problem.
You and the Little Prince every time. The Little Prince every time.
But most, not a Little Prince. But most of these, we're not going to go with the racist Douglas Adams thing again. Anyway, but most of these were largely concerned with the movements of small green pieces of paper, which is odd because on the whole, it wasn't the small green pieces of paper that were unhappy. No, no, no. And so the problem remained. Lots of the people were mean, and most of them were miserable, even the ones with the digital watches. They were all synchronized to the same second, interestingly enough. Anyway, that is our show. Thanks for listening.
At that point, all two of you who stay tuned for that.
We're the Seahawks. I said green pieces.
Green,
and they are wearing their throwback jerseys, which are not green.
There you go. So, perfect.
What do you think about this throwback jersey thing? What do you think is really behind it, Todd? I mean, is it the politics? The politics involved? Is that
it's
what it is?
Politics. It's the politics. This is 2018, after all. Although we'd have to go back further than that to get to the throwbacks. I'm sad that they can only wear them twice a season.
I think they can wear them more than that. They're just because what I've seen is like they are wearing them now and then in week six, I believe, right, with the Thursday night football game against the 49ers. And those are the ones they've reported that they're going to wear. So they could theoretically wear them all the time, I think. I don't think there's any rule against them wearing them more than twice.
I think you're drinking a fine beverage again, sir.
It's,
I think
that's kombucha. Non-alcoholic kombucha.
That explains nothing. Anyway.
But I have oil all over my body.
And there go the last two listeners.
Yeah, I don't.
That's your Walton Goggins moment.
That's my Walton Goggins.
Anyway, I like the throwbacks. Who doesn't like the throwbacks? Seriously, have you come across any statement by anyone on social media? You can always find 12s who don't like something, but I've yet to see anyone who says, yeah, man, those throwbacks are
Roger Federer tweeted out, hates throwbacks. Rafael Nadal said hates them. I think they were talking about Real Madrid or something.
But, you know. Yeah, they were talking about having to wear white.
Did you see?
Bill Tilden? I said Bill Goggins. Walton Tilden.
Walt.
The great-great-grandfather of George Sisler.
Do you know that Michael Keaton has won 70 awards for his acting?
70? Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes, that's a lot. Did you know he's now going to be known as Michael Keaton Douglas?
That's our show.
And that he meant to do that. He meant to make that change for the credits of that other movie, the Knox movie. And then he said it got so busy he just forgot.
The Knox movie?
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it. That's, again, brilliant podcast, right? Michael Keaton, Knox, you know, that thing that where he plays the hitman who forgets things, which is funny because, you know,
Clean and Sober? I don't know.
Awesome movie.
Is he the hitman in Gung Ho?
Yes.
Okay. Now I know what we're talking about. Okay.
Probably not that many people remember Gung Ho, and I guarantee it. We're probably the only two people who remember. Michael Keaton probably doesn't remember doing Clean as well. Actually, I'm sure. Knox Goes Away. That's the name of it. Knox Goes Away came out last year.
I have not heard of that.
It's in my rotation. I haven't watched it yet, but it's reputedly very good. Anyway.
What are you watching? What are you streaming right now? Not right now, but that would be weird. But
well, actually, I was streaming right now. I was watching this series on Netflix about a monster in Korea, and it's set during World War II, and it's really good. And this scene's really good. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was gross. Anyway, yes.
I'll read Seahawks. More of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Let me see. Seahawks.
So seriously, have you seen anybody that doesn't like the throwbacks? Everybody loves the throwbacks.
Yeah. Roger Federer on social media said he hates the throwbacks. It's
Stop
funny that
reading
I'm,
your notes.
It's funny that I'm repeating that because I was listening to the fairly recent episode of Politickin' with Gavin Newsom and Doug Hendrickson and Marshawn Lynch, and they have Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is the guest. On the show, and there's a point.
Maybe, it sounds like such a joke that they would be doing a podcast, but yeah, that's.
Oh that's yeah, it's actual, really good. It's
that's
really
an actual good podcast. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Politickin'. But about three quarters of the way through it, there's a part where Lynch is talking about something. Just I guess maybe. I can't remember what it is. Maybe it's people coming up. I think it's people coming up to him on the street and how approachable or whatever he is. And it repeats. And I'm like, that's just the same thing he just said. And I realized they probably just made a glitch. And because it's a professional podcast, we just make accidental glitches because it's very unprofessional what we do. Lynch and Carroll talk about the play. Lynch said that he repeated this many times, but he was like, for a while after the play, he just wanted to beat the shit out of Pete Carroll, like literally. And because for a lot of reasons, Carroll's like, you wouldn't have done that. And Lynch is like, I felt like it. Definitely felt like it. But I think the issue is that it wasn't just that the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots, when we know with three chances Lynch is getting into the end zone at some point, but it stole some of his legacy away because he would have been the MVP,
right?
Two straight Super Bowls. I mean, that theoretically might have cost him the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Exactly where I thought you were going to go with that. And I agree. It shouldn't, but it could, because if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, people are going to look at that play and that one play that didn't happen. Those things have an outsized effect on voters. They shouldn't, right? But they do. That's just a fact. Yeah. So, yeah, but Pete's right. It's like he wouldn't have, because if Marshawn may have felt like it, but if he wanted to, of course he would have. He just has better judgment than that. You know, it's like that's all there is to it. But I'm sure he felt like it. I'm sure a lot of the team felt like it. But
yeah, clearly they get down to it. Kind of broke the team apart, right? Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely it did. Absolutely it did, because then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's like it's Russ's team, because you know they did this to make Russ look good, and it's like
we got to get Jimmy Graham.
Pete took the blame for it this time even more directly than he ever has. But then didn't Marshawn kind of deflect and said, Bella made the call? And Pete just wasn't quick enough to get in there and say, whoa,
that's
whoa, whoa.
That's basically what he said. Yeah. Basically what he said.
So,
I think Doug Hendrickson is his agent. He's fine on the podcast. I mean, it's not just Gavin and Marshawn. Doug talks a lot. I mean, he's fine.
Doug.
Doug Hendrickson.
He's no Walter Goggins.
No Walton. Walton Goggins.
No, but he's no Walter Goggins either.
I feel the rage building up.
Are you going to be a Green Hulk?
Being run all over again.
Red Hulk or a Gray Hulk? Which Hulk would you be if you were a Hulk?
I'd be the red one. Russ goes back to throw and Walton Goggins cuts the pass off and intercepts it.
Walton Goggins. Hey, that pretty much was a ghoulish play, that's for sure. so sickening.
Anyway,
we don't see sickening plays like that this year.
Yeah, we are here to talk week one, the Seattle Seahawks. Again, we're recording this in 2018, so we're going to assume that every year they're going to start with the Denver Broncos, which...
Yeah, clearly.
Even though I'm joking 2 years ago. And Geno Smith. Little known Geno Smith, who in 2018 is playing for the Chargers, I think, right, is going to be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks for the third straight season. Lots of changes have happened in this series. In all seriousness, yeah. But so Geno Smith obviously is QB1 for the Seahawks as they enter the game against the Broncos, and Mike McDonald's first time being head coach of any football team. Will be not chewing gum on the sidelines, I'm assuming. And they will face the Denver Broncos with quarterback Bo Nix, who actually is awarded a captaincy, which is pretty good. I mean, maybe, I don't know if they did it. I don't know the Broncos well enough, so I don't know if they did it because, oh, he's the quarterback, he should be captain. Clearly, he's the starting quarterback. But, I mean, he had a lot of, we talked about this a little bit last week, but he's got a ton of college football starting experience, and while that's different from the NFL, clearly, he is under a good system for him.
He is.
But
it's still, that's still a really tricky assignment to, like, regardless of the system he's in. And you can argue, well, Russ was in the same system and Russ wasn't that great. Russ wasn't as bad last year as he was in the first year, for sure. But, and there's also a lot of talk like, well, Russ didn't exactly play in the system the way he was supposed to, which is why he's playing with the Steelers now. But he's also
He's got a calf injury.
Yeah. Which, well, anyway, enough about Russ for now. But starting up against a McDonald defense, that's not exactly the sweetest assignment you could get as a rookie. And you know, we'll see how it translates onto the Seahawks, right? Because he doesn't have the same personnel, obviously, as he had with the Ravens. But still, I have more faith in the first-time head coach, which that doesn't get talked about much, right? But, I mean, you just mentioned it. We've talked about it a little bit. But this his first head coaching job at any level, anywhere, which is really weird for an NFL head coach.
Yeah.
To not have been a head coach.
He's 17
years old. In high school, even. Yeah, you know, it's like practically right. But it just seems really unusual to be, oh, this is your first gig as a head coach and what? And you're in the NFL. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. He definitely deserves it. Well, I guess we'll find out as the season goes along how correct that statement is, right? But
yeah,
I think
he's a 6-year contract. So he's there for, even if this season tanks, he's still going to be there next year and the year after.
Let's say they go. I don't want to say it, but let's say that the bad estimates of their record and like the consensus, national consensus has them ranked like 20th to 22nd in the league, right? Like most of the prognosticators view that they'll actually be like a couple games worse, which makes zero freaking sense to me. Is like, did you not see that they made positive changes? What has this team lost compared to what they've gained that they're going to lose two more games? I don't know where they're coming up with this at all. I honestly don't.
Colby Parkinson. But,
yeah, that's it. That's the game changer. I mean, yeah, they have. I mean, obviously Wagner is the biggest change, right? But doesn't fit the system. So, and we'll see what happens with the linebackers and all the rest of it. But I just don't see how anybody can look at this team and say, oh yeah, they're definitely a couple games worse than they were last year. It's like, what? How? What are you looking at? Other than just, oh, well, this guy's never been a coach before.
That,
but they never say it's the coach.
Yeah. Oh, to me, the biggest issue for Bo Nix isn't even the defense necessarily, McDonald's defense. It's the fact that in his first, I mean, he played in Seattle. He played against the Huskies, but Husky Stadium sounds a lot different than Lumen Field. And he's going to have to contend with the fans. And that's going to be the biggest issue for him, I think. And I'm sure they'll have a lot of like silent counts and hand signals and stuff like that. But that's still, you're asking a rookie quarterback in his first game to quickly change what he's normally used to in an NFL setting. So I think that should give the defense. I'm curious. Of course, we get the final injury report tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday, but they'll get it on Friday. And I'm curious who ends up missing it, because the injury report wasn't terrible yesterday. It was a lot of limited participation from people. Right. Jerome Baker looks like he's playing. Connor Williams looks like he's playing. So, I mean, it looks like they're in fairly decent shape.
Yeah, the only person that we know for a fact, well, two, you're going to miss Abe Lucas, obviously, and Nosu. But other than that, there's no key players.
We assume.
As it stands right now. Right. As Nosu could actually, I mean, he's not going to, but he could possibly do it. Lucas won't, for sure, but you
George
know, it's
Lucas?
It's yeah, George Lucas. He's facing Walter Goggins on the other side. I agree. Nix has a lot of issues, and that tells you a lot about where Denver's at, like that they're starting the rookie. I mean, and people start rookie quarterbacks a lot more now than they used to.
And he's, like I said, he's had all the experience in college football. He actually could be. He could be good. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback.
No, I think he will be good.
Efficient in week one. I just think it's a tough task to go on the road as, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, what did we think 2 years ago, right? We thought, oh, you know, Russ is going to come in. I don't think we thought this, but a lot of people thought Russ is going to come back to Seattle and the Broncos are, you know, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders and they're going to win the game. And then we didn't see that because week one is kind of a lie anyway. I mean, it didn't end up being really 2 years ago because the Seahawks went on and made the playoffs at 9-8. They made the playoffs and the Broncos were terrible.
Yeah.
But, or as Charles Barkley would say, terrible. But, terrible.
It was terrible. But terrible. Like the women in San Antonio, just terrible.
Yeah. But,
that's him saying the women. That's.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Him saying the women in San Antonio are terrible.
Who's saying that?
Chuck. Chuck has said that many times.
Does he not like the women in San Antonio? I have not heard this.
You've not heard this?
I have not heard this. As a citizen of San Antonio, I'm assuming you're talking about Texas.
I am talking about Texas. I would say that he insinuated that they are large, but he did not insinuate that they were large. He clearly stated that those women in San Antonio, they're very large. And they all just burst out laughing and they said, "You can't say that." And we're talking about the late lamented TBS network show on the NBA. And he said, "Oh man," he started talking about them eating all their churros and stuff. And then later on, he said, he finally had some churros. And then he said he's understood why the women there were all so big because of those churros. And it's like, what is wrong with you, dude? Anyway.
Yeah, because I've known people from San Antonio. Now, it doesn't matter if they're big or small. Women are beautiful, right? But I've known women from San Antonio who were tiny. So
he's just being a goofball. But anyway,
is it because he hates the Spurs and he played for the Suns?
I'm pretty sure it was about that was the deal. It had nothing to do with San Antonio or anything like that. Because they were talking, oh, San Antonio is a really nice town, and they got the Riverwalk. But man, those women sure are big. Because he's being Chuck. Anyway, back to what we're really talking about, which again is the Seahawks. And yeah, I mean, two years ago they had an awful coach, which is why they have a good coach now.
The Seahawks.
They got a good coach.
Are you going on record that you think Pete Carroll
talking about the Broncos, talking about the Denver Broncitis?
Carroll does not coach the Broncos. I believe if I heard Broncitis. It correctly just now, you were like, Pete Carroll is the worst coach the Broncos and Seahawks have ever had. And he never coached either one. He only coached USC.
That's true. He only did. Which, by the way, is like, how awesome would it be to take Pete Carroll's class? What's he teaching?
And it's got something to do with religious studies.
I'll pass.
No, I'm not making anyway, that up. Like he's co-teaching with a religious studies teacher, professor.
Is it Walton Goggins? That'd be
good. It is Walton Goggins. Yes. And
in full makeup as the ghoul. Oh, that would be an interesting class. That'd be
pretty awesome.
I think I would sit in on that class. I don't think Knicks will have a particularly terrible game, but I also don't think he's going to have a particularly good game either, because I think the defense will show out.
And of course, the other big aspect is the change from Shane.
I'm sorry, did you say big aspect?
I said big aspect. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Just checking.
Now I've got a Prince song going through my head, but
Shane Waldron no longer roaming the sidelines for the Denver Broncos. That's true.
Yeah, it's true. But the big change from Shane Waldron to Ryan Grubb, and seeing, because I mean, we saw one series in the preseason, and it's like, well, if that's what we get to see all season, then the Seahawks are going to just, Geno Smith's going to have 48 touchdown passes to DK Metcalf, because that's what we saw in the one drive. And they're going to score touchdowns on every drive, which I assume that means they win the Super Bowl. But no, I mean, but in all seriousness, that one series looked interesting and enticing and therapeutic. I don't know why I'm just kind of making up words now, but it looks like
therapeutic's a real word. You're right.
I'm making up that in the context, I guess, but Geno Smith's skill set seems tailor-made for yes. Grubb's offense as far as speaking. I mean, because he throws one of the best deep passes. I mean, the Seahawks have been kind of spoiled with that ever since 2012, right? When Russ came to be the quarterback. It's like whoever is the quarterback that can throw a really deep, great deep pass. And I, again, Grubb's offense is schemed to get receivers open deep. And I think we're going to see a lot of explosive plays, but I also think we're going to see the reason we're going to see those plays is because we're going to see a lot of Kenneth Walker and Walton Goggins running the ball.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention how, and I know you've seen this, DK Metcalf had a very interesting statement.
DK Metcalf?
Goggins. DK Goggins.
Okay. The receiver. I gotcha.
Yeah, I didn't know who
DK Metcalf was.
The tall guy. The really tall guy.
Is that guy related to Terry Metcalf or something?
Kind of. Terry Crews, maybe. Have you seen the meme where someone said Terry Crews that he looks like a chewed up, which is kind of a horrible thing, but when you see the picture, it makes sense. A chewed up Tootsie Roll. And they showed a Tootsie Roll that's kind of chewed up. And it's like, and then it's like, yeah, it kind of does look like him with his shirt off because his abs are ridiculous. And then Terry Crews says, yeah, sure enough. Or, you know, he said, yep, can't deny it. And it's like, no, Terry Crews is so damn funny on social media. Anyway, back to DK Goggins.
Have you seen the commercial with DK Goggins and Charlie Day?
Oh my God. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I guess it's a Sunday Ticket commercial. That's what I'm assuming it is. But yeah, it's funny because Charlie Day is a small guy, but he's right there with Metcalf, who is 8 feet tall. A lot of people don't know that.
Compared to Charlie Day, he's like 9 and a half.
That's true.
He's the Manute Bowl of the Seattle Seahawks.
That's right, yeah.
Anyway, that Metcalf was talking about the running game. They're like, wait a minute, aren't you a wide receiver? And because he's talking about he's looking forward to like doing everything it takes to win a game, you know, catching passes, if it's catching passes, catching touchdowns, blocking. That was the second thing he mentioned, even though it was the third thing I mentioned, was the second thing he mentioned. And he talked about them establishing the running game. So then that it opens up the routes. And of course, that's exactly what Grubb does. That's his offense. It's based on running. He's said that numerous times. And you look at the Huskies offense is like, yep, that's what they did. They had a really good rushing attack. And people tend to forget that just because it doesn't particularly make the highlights. But it was interesting to see DK talk. And he talked about the running game quite a bit, especially for a wide receiver. He talked about it quite a bit. And that's really, really good to see. It's not like – and DK's so really never been one of those guys.
Are you saying that DK Metcalf is a running back now?
Yes.
So I tuned out because Dark Winds was on.
he's an H-back. He's the first H-back in the league since 2008, roughly. So he'd be interesting. Take him like a couple steps and get going, but after that, he's fine.
What are they? Are they not all H-backs now?
They're all H-backs, yeah. They're all H-backs.
I mean, you can't call them tailbacks because there's no fullback. Are they just running backs?
They're all RB, baby. RB. RBI. Is it RBIs or RBI?
It's RB. Well, we know what it is. It's RBI.
It's RBI, yeah.
Because you wouldn't say RB. You wouldn't say runs batted ends.
Yeah. Well, if it's cricket, maybe you would. But yeah, I hate it when people say talk about RBIs. It's like, no, there's not. They're not runs batted ends. Like, geez, what's wrong with you? Anyway, yeah. It was really refreshing to see him talk about how important the running attack is going to be. You expect a running back to say that, right? And the coaches. But when when the best wide receiver on the team says that, and I'm still not sure he's the best wide receiver on the team because they got three really good wide receivers, even Lockett at this point.
Two of the three do kind of the same thing, and Metcalf does something completely different.
Right. But
do you mean Lockett like is not best, like productivity is different, but are you just talking in terms of like route running and be able to catch the ball?
The whole package, the entire thing is like, if you're going to throw the ball, you got one play left and you decided, oh, I'm not going to run Marshawn because, oh my God, that's going to win us the Super Bowl. I'm going to throw the ball to somebody. Like, I'm throwing a Tyler Lockett. I'm not throwing to Metcalf. I'm not throwing.
I'm throwing it to the running back out of the backfield because I'm checking JSN. Down.
Well, of course you would. I'm bringing back Will Disley, actually, and I'm throwing to him. That guy never dropped nothing. But I mean, just And that's, I'm not saying Lockett is the best, but it's just they're all so good. And right, JSN and Lockett have very similar skill sets, though JSN hasn't quite proved he's at that same level. Obviously, he's, you know, right, he's needs another season, especially with an actual decent offensive coordinator, which I'm curious to see how the Bears are going to do with Waldron and see, because then we'll see, like, okay, because we've obviously seen how Schottenheimer was able to have a decent offense once he left the Seahawks. I'd be curious to see how Waldron does in Chicago. You know, it's like, was it really Waldron, or did Pete kind of hold him back a little bit? We'll see. Be curious to see. Also kind of hard to tell because their quarterback situation, again, rookie, is like, okay, what's going to happen there? But as far as the Seahawks go, anyway, finally, just to wrap up that little part of it, I was pleased to see that DK wasn't just like it, but he's never been like, oh, I'm the greatest and blah, blah, blah. He's never been that guy. On the field, he's had a few issues. It's like, oh, I think I'm going to knock the crap out of the defensive back because he irritated me, you know, 15 seconds after the play was over on the other side of the field. But he stopped that, which is nice. But that was the only issue that we'd ever seen with the guy. He's always been a team first guy. I mean, how many times do we see him lay like an absolute key block to spring someone else? Like a lot, man. I mean, that dude, he's a football player. He's not just.
Yeah. Like on the touchdown catch for JSN to beat the Browns last year.
Yeah.
It was Metcalf's block.
Exactly. I mean, that dude he's absolutely a team guy, but it was still refreshing to see him talk about how it's like, they're going to run the ball, you're going to run it down their throats, and that's going to open up everything for us. It's like, nice to see a wide receiver, especially one with that much talent, talking about a different part of the game other than himself, which is very cool. This is one of the reasons I really like the guy.
Yeah. So what's your prediction for week one? Chiefs and Ravens. No, I'm just kidding.
DK Metcalf, 35, and the Broncos, -8. Now, I think 33-16. Seahawks.
Interesting. I am going to go. I know it's a different head coach, I know, but we've gotten so used to seeing the Seahawks play close games, right? So, and it's week one. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm going to say the Seahawks win, and they win 24-20 on a late field goal that counts for 5 points by Jake Bobo.
Because it's 98 yards. It's a
bold prediction. Yeah.
Bold prediction.
And then real fast, since we're almost out of time, because Douglas Adams is coming up next. A lot of people are looking forward to that. And he's being interviewed by Walton Goggins. Can't miss radio. What is your prediction for the Seahawks 2024 season?
My prediction for the Seahawks 2024 season is 12-5.
12-5. I'm going to go with 23-11.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's a Walter Goggins season if there ever
has been. That is. I mean, you know, they don't usually play that many games, but I think the Seahawks are going to pull that many games out this year. Anyway, I mean, make the playoffs. And then Roger Federer will beat them in the playoffs. But it happens, you know. They gotta earn their way.
It won't be Joko, that's for sure.
No. Well, hey.
Shocking.
Everything's shocking. Jane's Addiction, that's her show.
Why are you the worst?
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.